Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly Creator to guide you in your everyday life. If He has a plan for you, He will make a way. All He wants is our daily yes to Him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in His image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. We have a very special guest on our show today. Jason Woodruff, the founder of the Pour Over Current Events newsletter, is with me to talk about how this hobby turned into a business. Not only that, but we also discuss what his hopes are for those who subscribe to the newsletter, and we even tackle how to respond when a political party tries to claim Jesus as their mascot. All this and more to come, and as you listen, please, if you think this conversation would be a blessing to someone, feel free to share. We hope that this episode will be an encouragement to you. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hey, Jason, thanks so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
So I don't know if you know this, but we have a mutual friend in common. I wasn't sure if you knew about that or not.
No, I don't.
Yeah. So I am friends with Lauren Diaz. Do you remember her from school?
Yes. So, what's her maiden name? Is she married?
It starts with a B. Yeah, she's married. And I was actually trying to remember her maiden name, but I've only known her as Lauren Diaz.
Yeah. And I barely recognize the name, but I recognize it as someone who was married.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so fun. So how do you know her?
Well, she and I actually used to work at a ballet company in Chicago, and she still lives in like the south suburbs there and everything. And so that's actually how I got introduced to the Pour Over, because she sent me a link saying like, "Oh, my friend started this newsletter. I think it's going to be really good," and sent it to me. And that was in 2019 or maybe beginning of 2020. That was like right at the beginning.
You were probably one of the first people that like subscribed that I didn't know directly who they were or who they came from, because for a long time it was really just kind of like a personal exercise. It was small and it was like, hey, I either know you personally or know who knows you, and you would fall into that category. But that's so fun. So you've been around for a long time.
Yeah. So it's been interesting to see how the Pour Over grows. But before we get into that, I mean, I kind of mentioned already a little bit of who you are. But for those who don't know you, Jason, do you mind sharing about who you are for our listeners?
Yeah. So I founded the Pour Over, which is a Christian news source. So it's world events. It's the biggest news of the day in the United States, which obviously covers some world events as well. We summarize it politically neutral and then pair it with a brief Christian perspective or foundational biblical reminder. So it started in roughly 2018, but even that is kind of generous. We didn't really try to grow it or treat it like a business or do anything until 2020. And so the fact that you were around early on is fun and cool to hear. And I went full time in 2021. So it's what I do full time now. And so I help run the business side, still help out a lot with the content. And that's why I'm on the show. There are other things about me. I'm married. I have a daughter. She's one, and awesome. And, but yeah.
No, that's awesome. I think it's incredible that you've been able to do this full time. And I could imagine that maybe it started as like a hobby on the side just to see how it would grow, or even maybe you didn't even have
high expectations for it, but what sparked the initial desire for you to actually start this newsletter?
Yeah, so I started it, I was getting my MBA, and I was halfway through the program and hadn't started the internship yet, and had some free time, and was generally frustrated with the news, and just felt like it was very politicized, overtly divisive, and just kind of frustrating as a Christian to say, like, man, I really don't care or shouldn't care what a Republican should think about this or what a Democrat should think about this. I should just care, like, hey, what should a Christian think about this? How can I respond and engage in a Christ-like, loving way? And so it started with just really with me saying, I want to do this for myself. I feel like I've always really enjoyed the news. I consume a lot of news. That was true before the pour over. So I was like, this would be kind of like a good spiritual discipline for me to just be really intentional about including Jesus in my worldview. And I was at dinner with a friend who now works full time for the pour over as of like a month ago, which is
nice.
Fun to see that come around. But I was out to dinner with him and I was talking about this and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to summarize the news and I'm going to send it to you to hold me accountable. And so I sent it to him and a few other people and some friends like Lauren that shared it with. And it grew a little bit, but like I said, the first 2 years, it was really, there were a couple other people that hopped on. It was once a week for a little while. And some people hopped on and they were really like joining me in this exercise, you know, and like there was accountability for this discipline that we were doing. And then we started trying, like I said, I was getting my MBA. So I enjoyed the business side of it and started treating it like a business, but it was very much a side thing. And like I had seen there are other, we didn't invent a newsletter first news org. So we had seen it work other ways and we're kind of following those playbooks, but it was not, didn't set out to build something that I'd go do full time or any of that. There was interest in multiple directions and it turned into this and I feel very fortunate, but it wasn't like, let's start a company, you know, and I'm going to quit my job and go start this company. It was a much slower roll than that.
Yeah. Do you, where did the name come from?
So originally, actually the first email says like still unnamed email. And then, the first, I started calling it Hot Black Coffee, because that was just something we'd like, oh man, I need some good HBC Hot Black Coffee. And no one liked the name. And then when we started growing it, someone else was saying, someone else pitched the pour over, still kind of on the coffee theme. It maybe gives some idea of like a little bit more thoughtful. And so I didn't come up with the name. My name was so bad. It was hindering our growth. But so we came up with that. We all like coffee, but I'm much less of a coffee snob than you might assume, given that I founded a coffee named company.
Well, it's pretty cool. I mean, I think a lot of people even relate to just coffee in general. I've mentioned this with some friends of mine before that. I mean, coffee just seems to be really prevalent even in just spending time with Jesus, that I think it kind of fits into that as well, to where, like you were saying, it's a thoughtfulness that you're reading this and you're entering into a time of like no, trying to have a non-bias, I guess is the word I'm trying to look for, when you're reading something like news, where as a lot of people can be divisive or have a certain thought already going into that. So I think it's a great name. I actually have a sticker of the pour over, and even where I'm at, someone actually saw a picture of mine when I was doing a B-reel and she said, I thought that was my computer because I have the pour over sticker also. We're in like central Illinois, so it's growing rapidly and it's incredible to see the growth in that. I'm curious to know if you have any background in communications journalism, if that was what you were going to get your MBA for, or if this was just, like you said, just an exercise you wanted to implement.
Yeah, I no formal training. So my dad is a pastor. I assumed that I would go into ministry. And so another benefit, and one of the reasons that I pushed through early on and continued doing it, was for a long time, whenever anyone asked what I was doing or what I was going to do, it's like, oh, I'm going to school for this, but I plan on going to seminary and being a pastor. And so there were just lots of like gospel conversations, opportunity to talk about my faith, share my faith. And then after I graduated undergrad, I decided to go and get my MBA instead of to go to seminary. And one of the things, and there was no like hope or intention of leaving the faith or doing that. It was just like, man, you know, and there was a lot of reasons that went into it. But one of the things that I found is like, man, I haven't talked about, like, I just don't have as many conversations about the gospel as I used to. And it really is because that was just such an easy conversation starter. And so another benefit was saying, hey, yeah, I work for XYZ Corporation and I run this little Christian thing, you know, a little Christian newsletter.
Yeah.
And so that was part of the benefit to me. And so no journalism, no theology. I was doing an interview a couple weeks ago that turned out to be a little bit more of media criticism than I was prepped for. And he's like, so what gives you the right or the credibility to write to all these people? And I was like, whew, okay, I need to switch modes here. But really what it is like, I was just trying to start a personal, I was trying to do this for myself, and people started reading it, and that pressure was really good. Yeah. And forced me to learn how to write better, forced me to learn how to, just lots of good accountability from every angle. But no, I don't have any journalism school. We now have a couple of writers that write outside the pour over and are good writers and trained and know what they're doing a little bit more than we did, especially when we started out.
Hey everyone, happy August. If you're new to our show, you might not know that this podcast is part of our ministry, Splendor Magazine. Splendor is a biannual Christian women's magazine, but our focus doesn't just center around a certain niche, as other Christian women's magazines might, but the content centers around the different passions that women have in order to help encourage, empower, and equip women to use those passions to glorify God and to make disciples in their field. We have articles that range from home and living to business and beyond, as well as special features like The Deborah Woman, where we interview someone we see in the world using their gifts to impact the world around them. In our fall issue, our Deborah Woman is Mo Isom. Mo and her husband started Fifth Wheel Missions, where her family of six lives an RV life, and they're mobilized on mission for the gospel. Mo encourages others to live boldly for the gospel, and her testimony is a wonderful one that you have the opportunity to read about in our next issue. We want you to know that you are an integral part of the body of Christ, and you have gifts and talents that God wants you to use to help be a part of His will to advance His kingdom. We feel certain that when you read our magazine, you will find content that will empower you to finally pursue God's calling for your life. Pre-orders are available now for our fall issue, and you can use code DIS10 at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's DIS10, D-I-S-10. Or you can subscribe to our biannual subscription to get the best price and ensure you never miss a copy of our magazine. Go to splendormag.com/shop. That's splendeurmag.com/shop to purchase your copy today. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Jason.
Well, that it sounds like a very similar story to my own journey with my business as well. And I'm just curious if you ever found yourself at a time where you just kind of felt like you were completely unequipped to do this job, or you felt like, especially when it grew to larger than maybe what you expected, that maybe this is to have someone else start this or do this instead of yourself.
Yeah, it's it's weird to think about. Like, we're right now we're celebrating. We just crossed 400,000 newsletter
subscribers.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And it is really wild to think that that many people get this email and mm-hmm. we have hundreds of thousands of people that open and read. And it's, you know, it's a good reminder that like, it's not the Jason Woodruff newsletter. People aren't subscribing to hear what I have to say. Hey, we're providing a service. We're pointing people to Christ. People are coming because they love Jesus or want to know more or like want to be better shaped by Jesus in this area that has felt like, hey, you can kind of suspend your faith and just go all in on a political ideology or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm going to hear a news story and I'm going to run it through the filter of, you know, my political party, or I'm going to decide mm-hmm. what I feel about it based on what my candidate feels about it. And so it's like, there's been mm-hmm. this void of what feels like discernment from people mm-hmm. that really are steeped in current events. And so it's a good reminder, like what we have proven is that struck a chord and there are people that desire more Jesus in their news. And it is pretty wild to think that mm-hmm. and such a privilege that I get to be a part of that journey at all and involved, but it's cool.
That is really cool. Would you say that that's kind of the hope that you would have for readers going into reading your newsletter or signing up for it, that that's something that you can help to remove the division that's been brought on?
Yeah. You know, there's so one of the things that, and this has kind of come out in the last 6 months or something, is we launched Decaf, which is the pour over for families. It's once a week it's rewritten for like middle school age and meant to spark discussion. And just some other projects we're working on of like, really what we want is for people to have like a healthy relationship with the news, a spiritually healthy mm-hmm. relationship with the news, where they can be informed and move on, you know, and it's not creating division. It's not creating anger. It's not like feeding into depression or anxiety, and saying like the Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, like mm-hmm. what is produced when the Holy Spirit is present is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, mm-hmm. self-control, and saying, what would it look like? I mean, those are like the opposite of what people feel reading the news. Like, the news does not produce gentleness. It mm-hmm. like your response is often harsh. It does not produce joy. It produces fear.
Right, yeah.
And mm-hmm. and so saying like, what would it look like? It we know that when you add the Holy Spirit, when you add Jesus, that mm-hmm. this is what comes out of it. And so saying, hey, what we desire is for people to introduce Christ into their yeah. news consumption and respond in a way that is compassionate and loving and Christ-like, and that they could enjoy following the news and that they don't feel that they need to unplug or become isolated mm-hmm. Because it's spiritually damaging for them, but also that they don't need to become obsessed or, you know, create idols out of news anchors or news orgs or political ideologies or whatever. But it's like, it can be in its appropriate place. We're not 24/7. We send an email 3 times a week. If you read that, you'll be aware of what's going on in the news, and it's good enough, and then move on, you know?
Yeah. This is kind of a curveball question that I didn't prepare you for, but you just kind of sparked a thought in me where I remember I was doing YOAM and mission work, and I was posting about it a lot. That was back in 2019. And I remember one of my friends who, from the sounds of it, when he was talking to me, was liberal, and he just he and I were friends in college, and I think he just kind of saw my mission work as, you know, maybe forcing people into believing Jesus. But he kind of went into a more political side of things and said, you know very well that Jesus would have been a Democrat if he was alive, you know? And I was like, and he's Jewish too. So it was really interesting because I'm like, well, you don't really even believe in Jesus as a or, you know, like, so I,
you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so I was, what do you say to that? What do you say when a political party tries to have Jesus as like the representative or, you know, for statements like that?
Yeah. You know, I think it can be really damaging spiritually because like the fact is, and typically that's, I have certainly heard that, but typically the thought and the response is Jesus would be a Republican. And so like you get both and you get both right, sides yes. that will say this. And I think there's value in recognizing that Jesus would not, like there are arguments for both sides. And what I think is spiritually helpful is to say that Jesus would not be sold out in one camp, you know? But to think that it's politics is a really easy idol. And so to introduce and say like, hey, to judge the genuineness of someone's faith based on where they stand on a political issue or who they vote for or something like that is changing the gospel, you know, is to say like, oh, well, you can't, because what we hear a lot in ads that we run that will say like, you know, we're not Democrat, we're not Republican, will be like, you can't be a Christian and like, you can't love Jesus and be a Democrat, or you can't love Jesus and be a Republican. It's like, you know, the gospel is scandalous because it's very inclusive. It's very like the requirements are very low. If you accept Jesus, and obviously we need to be shaped and changed, and they're making a legitimate point. Like we need to be shaped and changed by the gospel. And that should be reflected in our actions, but that's not what people are saying. And that's driving people away from the gospel. You know, it's making Christianity very exclusive and very like, hey, when you check these boxes, you can get in. And so that's what I think. Like, I think there's value in those statements and recognizing, especially if they challenge your belief. But I think there's a lot of damage in those statements if you start advocating for them.
Okay, so with fall just around the corner, I know that one of my favorite things to do is curl up in my love seat by the fire, reading the book du jour, and wearing breathable leggings with a comfortable crew neck sweater. To me, that is the definition of cozy. But finding a truly comfortable crew neck where the material is soft but durable is really difficult to find, especially when most of our shopping is done online nowadays and you can't trust that the product is actually well made. With Elevated Faith, that's one thing I don't have to worry about. All of their apparel is super well made, and when I get those crew neck sweaters, it is soft to the touch. I like them also because everything they create is an opportunity to share the gospel, not to mention that a portion of all their profits are given to different nonprofits around the world, so I know my money is not just being spent, but being donated for a good cause. If your closet is full of clothes, they also have accessories and jewelry you can look into. I actually have this super cute iPhone case from Elevated Faith that says Jesus is life, and it has to be one of my favorite small purchases I've ever made. I know that may sound like I'm exaggerating for the sake of it, but honestly, I look at this case every single day and it makes me smile. I really just love it. Want to save money while you shop Elevated Faith? Go to elevatedfaith.com and use code LYSUMMER15 to get 15% off your purchase. That's LYSUMMER15. Apply that code at checkout and start sharing the gospel one piece of clothing and accessory at a time. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Jason. I'm hoping and praying that the Pour Over can be a source where a lot of people can really at least have better discussions with their peers. And I remember friends of mine and even myself during the 2020 election. The 2016 election when Trump was running against Hillary Clinton, that there were a lot of that was the initial, I think, sparks of more divisiveness coming into the, and more hatred and spewing and mudslinging and stuff. And I remember that a lot of my friends and I really just wanted to have, like, if you disagree, can we just meet for coffee? Because social media can be really harmful as well. And just posting what you think and then not really caring or thinking about the person who's reading it, and just leaving a comment just for the sake of trying to prove a point and having a war on social media instead of seeing them face to face, knowing that once you do, you can actually see that they're a person. So,
And having people in your life, like on our team, we have writers that love Jesus that are overtly and openly liberal and overtly and openly conservative, you know, and will advocate for, tell us who they voted for, advocate for different positions and stuff. And the Pour Over is a wonderful place to work. And there's great conversation. Right. There's great debate around that, because it's all of that discussion is secondary. And someone's faith and love for Christ and love for others is not questioned based on who they voted for. You know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, hey, we can have this discussion. And it really, it's very helpful to be like, hey, I know Matt, I know Will, I know that they love God and love, like, I understand their motivation and I see where they fall on these different things. And so I can't buy into the idea that, like, oh, if you support this or support that, you're evil or you're motivated by evil or something like that. It's like, I mean, I think they're wrong sometimes, but like I can see that they're not motivated by evil, that they love Jesus. And that's such an important thing. Learn to disagree and prioritize. If the news is destroying your relationships, you need a fast, you need a break from the news, not the relationships. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus hung out with sinners. He hung out with prostitutes. Yeah. He hung out with tax collectors that were actively exploiting people. And so don't be like, man, this person's sin is too bad, or I don't want to be like remotely associated with it. I'm just going to cut him off. That's not what we saw modeled.
Right.
And, you know, have some political humility, have some humility in general, maintain the relationships, invest in them. And if something's driving you to do that, that is not the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the evidence that, oh man, Jesus is here, you know, because he's having me just hack these people out of my life, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think hopefully we're going into a direction where our next generation, our generation, is seeing just how damaging that the news can be if we're not putting on the lens of the gospel and Jesus first. Because it's not necessarily bad to listen to the news or watch it. I know that for yourself and myself included, I mean, I can get discouraged by what we see in the news media, but it's really to make sure that we're watching anything or reading anything with the lens of what Jesus would have us to react to it as. And I love how you in the Pour Over newsletter include, like, here's a Christian response, here is scripture to back up how we should respond to this, even if we may disagree with some of this. So I think it's incredible. I think it's going to grow even further. And actually, on that note, I'm curious if you have any, like, long-term future goals, outrageous dreams, or something that maybe the Lord has given on your heart for a TPO.
Yeah. You know, we invest heavily in growth, and we're trying to grow and actively growing. Mm-hmm. Right now our thought is we want to grow the platforms that we have. So we have the newsletter is our largest and kind of primary, medium. We have that's the same contents turned into a podcast, and then we post on Instagram. We'd like to move into some video platforms. So figure out how to do the news, or maybe it's daily news, or maybe it's just news related things that are more evergreen, you know, or like how to handle these topics that come up a lot. And that could be useful on YouTube or valuable on YouTube. So we have plans. We want to grow. We're also a fairly kind of patient and a little bit slow moving, given that it's very fast paced. And we actually, we move quite quickly, but we don't want it's not fun to do too much. Like, we don't have a Twitter account and news happens all the time on Twitter, but like,
true. Yeah.
We'd have to learn how to, that's a totally different game. I'd have to learn how to do Twitter, and I've never been on Twitter, and I don't, you know? And so it's like someone at some point will join the organization that will have a heart and a passion and a knowledge of Twitter, and we'll launch Twitter then, you know, but we're not trying to like force that and grow in every direction. We feel very fortunate with what we have, and we want to steward that. And part of stewarding that, I think, is growing that and reaching more people with the mission. But we're trying to do that in a deliberate, thoughtful way, and not just grow for growth's sake and go anywhere that there are people to try to just grow, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes, totally. I think it's very smart too. I think, and probably a lot of business owners would say that is the best way to go, is slow and steady. And especially for yourself, who has entered into this world not really having planned for this to be your job, that I'm sure you want to have like God as part of your decision-making process with your team, and making sure like, are these the right next steps for growth? But I've talked with Mitch a few times on the pour over for Splendor. Yeah. And I told him, I said, I don't know at what point this would happen, or for you guys or for my friend, but my friend, she has a dream, and she's in law school right now to as like a step closer to her dream of like creating like, you know, two channels specifically on TV, or I don't know if it would be just streaming at that point, but just to have it just like Christian related content. And so I was like, hey, maybe the pour over could be a news station on there. So, so maybe, I don't know, I'm dreaming big for you, even if you guys aren't. I think a lot of people are hoping to see that the pour over would grow in a way that maybe this would be the regular news source for Christians to run to.
That's encouraging. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Well, since our podcast is called Dress in Splendor, I was curious to know if you had any advice for our listeners who perhaps want to go down a similar path for you, or may find themselves in a similar path where they are entering into a season unknown. If there's any advice that you give to them of how they can be dressed in even grander splendor without worrying about what tomorrow is, and just trust in their God.
Yeah. You know, the thing that comes to mind with this is the very beginning stages of the pour over. And like, if my goal had been to create a news org or create a newsletter that had 400,000 subscribers, I would have given up a lot. Like, there's no way we would be here. And really what it was is like, man, this is something, it was years before we made any money, and years before it felt cool that we were sending an email to a bunch of people, because we weren't. We were sending email to like 50 friends. And so saying like, the flip side is I now love my work. It feels like such a privilege and honor to get to do what I do. And the fact that it like supports my family and other people's family, and we have employees and all that, like I love all of this. And so, but I really do think there's a, like, trying to introduce patience and just focus on what is God laying on your heart. And for me, it was to say like, man, I need to give up some of my relationship with the news is unhealthy. And like, how can I solve that? And I'm just going to be disciplined and consistent and faithful in this. And that kind of patience has led to something really beautiful. And it's easy for me to say that on this side of it, but I am very grateful. And I think my advice is to try to lower the pressure on yourself, lower the anxiety, and just say, my goal is to be faithful in this small thing and invest in it and be consistent and faithful in it, and not put the anxiety of I need to hit these massive numbers, or I need to grow, or it needs to support my family right away, or it needs to do whatever. Just be faithful. And if it's meant to become a business, then it'll become a business. If it's meant to do something else, it'll do something else. But to just love and kind of nurture what it is right now and what God's laid on your heart.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that piece of advice for our listeners. Hopefully it'll encourage someone out there. And for those of them who maybe have never even heard of the Pour Over or want to subscribe, how can they find you? How can they find the Pour Over and subscribe to your newsletter?
Yeah. So they can find the Pour Over at thepourover.org. So thepourover.org. You can Google the Pour Over News or look up the Pour Over podcast on anywhere you want to listen to podcasts. You can follow us at the Pour Over News on Instagram, and we'll share the news and hopefully point you towards Christ as well.
Sounds good. And everyone, you'll be able to find all that in the show notes as well. So make sure you check that in there. Jason, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you next time. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Jason as much as I did. It is so humbling to hear amazing testimonies from people like Jason, who started the Pour Over as a discipline, and it turned into something I'm sure was far beyond what he could have ever imagined it would turn out to be. But then again, doesn't God always do that with our lives? If you want to subscribe to the Pour Over newsletter, go to our show notes and find their website where you can sign up. As a longtime subscriber, I'm never disappointed in how TPO shares the news, and am even encouraged when they share scripture to help refocus my attention back on Christ. If you think someone might be encouraged by this episode, please share. I truly believe that Jason's testimony and how he started this business with Christ as the focus will help you and others learn how we can be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. Make sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at DressedInSplutter to know when our next episode drops. And if you want to give me a follow where you can find encouraging content, you can find me on Instagram at TheLydiaSummer or TikTok at LydsSummer, L-Y-D-S Summer. The music of the Dress and Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.